Beer, an alcoholic drink made from yeast, fermented malt flavored with hops. Abel, having the power, skill, means, or opportunity to do something. Dad, a person who is corny or embarrassing in the way that a father figure might be.
Daddy's home!
I love you, Daddy!
When you bring all three of those words together, you get the Beerable Dad Podcast.
Well, okay, so welcome to the Beerable Dad Podcast. I got a special guest today, Mitch Cobb of Upstreet and Libra non-alcoholic beer.
Hey, Scott, yeah. How's it going?
I'm super good. I'm super happy you're on. Just elated. It's so crazy. So my mother-in-law really likes the podcast. She likes beer and she likes all that stuff, but she has some kidney issues and she can't drink regular beer. So we've been searching for a beer me and her could drink together, and she came across Libra and she was like, you should reach out to these guys.
Oh, no way. That's amazing.
Yeah. So it's really nice. And Natasha said that she's going to send me some beer, I believe. I'm super excited to sit down with my mother-in-law, and then I'm going to do a podcast with her while drinking your guys' beer, because she's super excited about this.
Oh, fantastic. That's great.
But yeah. So I'm guessing you're a dad.
I am a dad. Yeah.
How many little ones?
I have three kids.
Oh, wow.
Busy. Yeah. And yeah, super busy. And they are 16, 9, and 6. So.
Oh, fun. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got two. I have a 8-year-old and an 11-year-old.
Okay.
And nice. Busy. Busy is the only word I can say. They do some interesting things.
Lots of activities these days. Well, not really a lot of activities with COVID, but they're at that age where they're doing lots of stuff.
COVID has really put a damper on things, like with sports wise. So this year my son would have went for his black belt in Taekwondo, but for 2 years he hasn't been able to do Taekwondo. It sucks. COVID sucks. So I kind of did a little research on you, and I saw that you haven't always been a brewer or that. What got you into it?
Yeah, so we started Upstreet in 2015, so almost 7 years ago now. It was actually 7 years ago in December that I left my job to start building the brewery. And so it's myself and my business partner, Mike Hogan, and Mike is really he's the head brewer. He's the kind of brains behind all of the recipes and all of the beers. It's kind of a bit cliche to say, but I mean, it started like a lot of craft breweries. Mike was a software engineer, and I was working at our local community college teaching in the business program, and we were friends, and Mike was a big home brewer, so we used to go over to his place on Sunday afternoons and help him brew beer. And we just kind of got talking to about how much fun it would be to open up our own brewery, and the conversations kind of kept progressing to a point where we couldn't turn back, and we were building a brewery. That's kind of where it started. I mean, when we first started talking about it was really, something maybe we could do on weekends, or it was going to be like a smaller kind of,
That's so awesome. I work in in the coal mining industry, in BC, how scared were you? 'Cause you had kids at the time, that's a big jump. It's a big jump. And I have so much respect for you for that.
It was, it was scary to a point, and it was interesting because, I'm from Prince Edward Island, and Prince Edward Island is a pretty small place. There's 150,000 people here. And so there was already, a brewery here that was quite large. And when we were telling people we were going to do this, sort of the response we were getting at the time was, why would you do that? There's already a brewery here. We don't need two breweries, that kind of thing. Right. And it was kind of before, the proliferation of breweries. But there was definitely scary. But we also had a really good plan, and you know, so we believed in ourselves and believed that it could work.
Oh,
and, you know, we were so excited by what the future brought that we weren't really probably, you know, thinking rationally.
That's okay though. That's how the best business ideas get started. Look at Elon Musk.
Absolutely. Right.
But yeah, no. And being a brewer and having a family, or sorry, owning a brewery and having a family, like, I'm sure that your kids like get like you have a 16-year-old. I'm sure he's like, hey dad, like, this is really cool. Like, I'm sure he's like super excited to learn about it. And, I can't wait for my 11-year-old to get a bit older to like start trying those different experiences with him.
Totally. Yeah. And so, yeah. So my oldest is a girl.
Oh, sorry.
Layla. No worries at all. And she's, it is interesting at the age that she's at, you know, she's in grade 11 now. And,
yeah.
You know, and so, her, you know, she talks to her teachers about her dad owning upstreet, and they all come here and know, you know, and, you know, her friends all think it's really cool. And, you know, and even like my youngest ones, you know, I mean, they used to just love coming in on weekends and like, you know, sitting on the floor or, you know, doing things like that. I probably shouldn't say that on a podcast. I may get in trouble. But,
but it's so nice that it has that family feel to it too, because like, yeah, like that's the heart and soul. Like, I'm not sure if your partner has kids also, but like,
no.
He doesn't. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're growing up. It's 7 years. Like your youngest has never known anything other than you being that, which is really cool.
Yeah. And I mean, it's interesting too, because, you know, the whole kind of company has started growing up. Like when we first started, you know, most of our staff were in their 20s, and you know, it was a very young staff, and people have sort of grown up with the business where, you know, now everyone is married and there's so many kids. And so,
oh, that's, you know, so cool.
We used to have, you know, parties or go out on Friday nights or, you know, things like that. I mean, I had kids, but most people didn't, you know, where now we're doing like pancake breakfasts, you know, where people can bring their kids to their families, and, you know, it's a complete sort of, shift in the whole company culture.
And it's like, I'm not sure how old you are or anything, but like, there's that age. Like, I had my children at a young age, which I'm super happy about, because I see some of these dads that are like quite a bit older than me. But like, it's so nice to see like the companies growing up like that. And everybody, like you said, getting married and so on and so forth. Like, it's nice. It's nice to see in a company that you've kept staff that long. And yeah.
And I mean, it is interesting, and it's interesting to see how the culture has changed over the years as we've all matured and the company has matured sort of at the same rate, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome. I also saw that you did a bunch of stuff with, I believe it's Big Brothers and Big Sisters.
Yeah. So I worked on a promotional campaign with them and it was all around mentorship and the people in my life who have, you know, played an important role or a mentorship role for me. And,
oh, that's so good.
Yeah.
I believe in that wholeheartedly. Like I remember in school, I had a mentor and he was great. And it's nice to see that like people pass it on. Like, it's not, you don't see many people that have been through that. And then they're just like, oh, I don't want nothing to do with anybody else. Like, they're always like, at least for me, like I try and like reach out and help people all the time now.
It's, you know, it's so interesting, especially in, I don't know if this happens in a lot of other, I don't know if we would call it industries or, but like for amongst entrepreneurships or entrepreneurs, there just seems to be such a willingness from any entrepreneur to help another entrepreneur out. I've never encountered it. It's incredible. And the mentors that I've had in my life from other entrepreneurs have been instrumental in helping us grow the way that we have. And it's great to be in a position now where, you know, now I'm starting to mentor younger entrepreneurs.
Oh, that's so cool.
Through. And yeah, it's great. And it's, and I guess, you know, the craft beer industry is very much the same too, you know.
Very much.
Yeah.
And yeah. One thing I can say about every brewery I've talked to out east is like 100% in to talk to me. I don't know if you know of Nine Locks. They're pretty big brewery out that way. Same kind of interaction with them, like with you guys. And it's been great, honestly. Like everybody out east, I find is like you said, 100% in to help out. Like I'm a small podcast. And you guys are like, oh man, like I'd love to like talk about it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, we've always found that there's a great community in amongst the craft brewers, especially on the East Coast, but everywhere, you know. And,
yeah.
And it's great even traveling and anywhere you go, you know, there's always a brewery that you stop into, and as soon as they find out that, you know, you own a brewery or you work at a brewery, they're like welcoming you in and
yeah,
giving you the royal treatment. So it's amazing that way.
That's so good. So you have Upstreet, which is a beer brewery. Mm-hmm. And then is Libra like a whole other sector, or is it it's all under the same banner?
Yeah. So right now it's all under the same banner. So we have Upstreet Craft Brewing, and that's kind of our company. And under that, you know, we have a brewery here on PEI and two tap rooms here on PEI. And then we have a brewery and a restaurant in Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Oh, wow.
And then we have a few different brands underneath Upstreet. So we have Upstreet Craft Beer. And then we have Rewind Vodka Seltzer. We have East Coast Craft Soda. And our latest is the Libra non-alcoholic craft beer.
That is so cool. So you literally have something for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. And that was entirely the point, you know. We've always been very much rooted in the community. You know, our mission statement is to refresh the community. And as we were kind of going through that, you know, we kind of recognized that if we truly wanted to be a community brewery and we wanted to refresh the community, then we had to start providing options for everyone. So that was sort of what kickstarted our expansion into other kind of product lines.
Oh, that's so cool. Like I was saying, like with my mother mother-in-law with kidney disease, like it's been hard, and she used to really enjoy beer, but now they're saying, oh, you can't have beer. So when she found this, like it just made her be like, oh, this is like so amazing. Like, and there's other non-alcoholic beers, but she wanted something a little different than like Budweiser. Not saying that Budweiser hasn't done great things, but
totally. Yeah. Yeah. And it is. And I mean, it's interesting, like, you know, we hear it all the time, you know, from people who, for whatever reason, can't consume alcohol. And
yeah,
we get emails all the time saying like, you've changed our lives, you know, and it allows them to participate fully in those social experiences where much of it revolves around alcohol.
Yeah. And that was another reason I reached out. Like I have three or four friends that have went through addiction issues with alcohol, and like so like on my side of the family, there's huge problems with the alcohol addiction, and it's been really hard. But I'm the person that can open a beer, my friend will come over if he can't drink, and I'll dump the beer and grab a pop and have a pop with him. So it'd be nice to have him come over, and then we can both have one of your beers, like and he can still feel part of the group.
Totally. You know, and that's really like, that's what really kickstarted Libra for us, you know? And so like, and it, so when I, you know, I mean, after kind of being in the beer industry for 3 or 4 years, you know, I had sort of, I don't know, hit like, hit a point where I was not feeling my best, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No.
Gained 50 pounds, you know. I was probably, you know, everything that I did kind of revolved around beer and eating out. And, you know, I mean, it's just, you're going to beer festivals and, you know, so I just wasn't feeling good. And I was coming up to my 40th birthday, and I was like, I need to lose 40 pounds before my 40th birthday. You know, and so obviously one of the lowest hanging fruits was to cut out craft beer, you know.
Yeah.
And so I did that. And then, you know, I kind of started cutting out alcohol too, and it just felt really great.
Yep.
You know, and so that was sort of, but it was the same sort of thing, right? Like I still wanted to go out with friends and I still wanted to socialize and stuff, but there was nothing really around that, you know, provided the same kind of experience. And that's where we started talking about like, well, what would it take to create a non-alcoholic craft beer? Could we make it taste the same? And, you know, really started diving into the research and development and trialing a bunch of different ways to do it. And finally coming up on our process. And
that's so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's amazing, right? Because like, you know, obviously, yeah, there's lots of people who, you know, for health reasons or other reasons, you know, can't consume alcohol, but there's also lots of people who just, you know, don't want to consume alcohol all the time.
Yeah. Like, and it's nice to like have something where, so like we'll have a Christmas party and like, we're in a very remote area. So it's our Christmas party will be when we were having them still is like 40 kilometers away. So it's hard for me to go and like I've been drinking like water and juice and stuff, but it's so nice to be able to like, oh, cheers, have like to a beer or something. And that process is great that now that there's like you guys, craft brewers that are coming out with non-alcoholic beers, it's amazing.
Yeah. And you're right. Like it totally sucks to go to a party or go out for dinner and have to drink water or pop. And those are your options. Like, why shouldn't you be able to fully participate in a meal or a party and be able to, you know, have a meal and have it paired with a nice drink that doesn't have alcohol in it if you're choosing not to drink that night, you know?
Yeah, no, it's great. And so that's, I'm sure like with like you also doing sodas and stuff, I'm sure that your kids have probably overindulged on the sodas a few times.
Yeah.
some major sugar crashes.
Yeah. Yeah. Although, I mean, our sodas are lower in sugar. There's still sugar in them. And
oh man, I could just picture like, if it was my kids, like they'd be like, you'd be like, oh, in the brewery, where are the kids at? And you just walk into the back room and there they are just chugging pop like, ah. Right. But yeah, no. What else, like, are you guys expanding like on the non-alcoholic beer side? Are you going to stick with like just Libra, or are you going to try and come out with like other interesting flavors?
Yeah. I mean, we're really 100%. Well, I shouldn't say 100% focused on non-alcoholic beers, but we're very focused on non-alcoholic beers. It's super exciting. Like we see that as a huge area of growth in the,
an untapped market world. For sure.
Absolutely. But it's also, you know, really interesting from an innovation standpoint, because it kind of forces you to, you know, especially for Hoagie, our brewer, to step back and say, okay, you know, we're starting from scratch. How do we develop a process to make a stout? And what does that look like? Or how do we develop a process to make a sour? You know, and so there's a whole lot of like technical things that come along with that. That's really exciting for, you know, for our brew team and for Hoagie in terms of innovation. So, so we're really building out Libra as a line of non-alcoholic beers. We launched our pale ale in, I guess, October of 2020. So about a year and a bit ago. And then we've since then launched Hazy IPA. And then we launched Pilsner in the summer.
And, oh, wow.
Yeah. And then most recently, just a stout. So, you know, we're kind of trying to get our kind of flagship beers down. And then, you know, sky's the limit. We're talking about doing all kinds of interesting things.
That is so amazing.
Yeah. I think it's really, you know, like it's super fun, but it's really interesting because, I see a world where non-alcoholic beers have the same sort of innovation that, you know, traditional craft beers do, right?
And like I said, like you can go, like I'm Ontario, or I'm sure there you guys have lots of lakes, or like even just going to the ocean, like you can go there, you can drink a six pack of non-alcoholic beer and you can still drive home and you're not like, and I'm sure everybody that listens that drinks alcohol on the podcast has like had that thought where, I've had a couple, I can drive.
Yeah.
Which is really shitty because you shouldn't.
Yeah. And we see it even in our tap room. I mean, the interesting thing is that, you know, people aren't coming in to the tap. I mean, so on PEI, you have to sell, they've since changed the rules, but initially when we launched, because there's 0.4% alcohol in it, we couldn't sell it in grocery stores. We had to sell it in liquor stores, which actually worked out really well for us, because what we were finding, and we found this in our tap room, is that people weren't coming in just to buy Libra or just to buy beer. They were buying, you know, a couple of 6% IPAs and then a 4-pack of Libra, you know,
that's
or they're
so
coming
awesome.
In and sitting in the tap room, you know, and they're having a beer, you know, and then they want to stick around. So they're having a couple of Libra too. So it's this ability to sort of, you know, bring in the non-alcoholic beers, which allows you to sort of, you know, not get hammered, but also, you know, extend your stay and hang out. And, you know, when traditionally you would probably leave because you didn't want to drink water.
Exactly. Like that, like it's such a smart business idea. Like I'm super fascinated when you, like, I only knew about Libra. So when you said that you had four others, I was like, wow, like you really get, like, you can order a flight. You can come in and order a flight. Like that's like, so yesterday, me and my wife, I work on Valentine's Day. So we decided we go to a town close by that has a new brewery they just opened up, and they asked if I wanted a flight. And I was like, I can't, because I have an hour drive back to our house.
Yeah.
And so like my wife ordered two beer and we just sipped, like I tried to sip it off of hers and we had like a pretzel or something. But yeah, I was like, it would have been nice to have like gotten the full experience. So like kudos to you guys. Like that's opening up a brand to a whole other audience of people.
Yeah. And I mean, it's also interesting too, if you, you know, if you go on Facebook, I mean, there's a whole community of people who don't consume alcohol, but there's, you know, there's so many groups on Facebook, and it's very much the same as the, you know, as traditional sort of craft beer fans, where, you know, people are posting like, oh, you know, this brewery has this new beer out and you can get it here, or I found this beer at this store, and they're doing trades and shipping beers across
that's the so cool
country and stuff, you know, like there's the same sort of excitement around experimenting and trying new things and
you
know, being the first to try a new beer that's coming out, which is awesome, you know.
Yeah,
it's super exciting.
And honestly, big shout out to Facebook, because that's where my mother-in-law saw an ad for your beer, was on Facebook. Okay. And then she sent it to me and I was like, oh, this, like, it was just like, it was a no-brainer for me to like get a hold of you guys.
Awesome.
So yeah. Okay, so do you have any good dad stories about being at the brewery?
My goodness. Good dad
stories. As good or as bad as you want.
Good dad stories about being at the brewery.
Or even just like in like general, like along with beer. Or yeah.
Beer and you're gonna have to let me think about that for a second.
Okay, that's no problem. Like so when
My wife hears this, she'll probably have like 10.
She'd be like, oh yeah, remember this time?
What about that?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, right. Yeah, no, like so my little boy, like as I said, like my family's dealt with addiction a lot. So like one thing that I've done is like alcohol was always hidden from me. Yeah. You know, like it was always put away and all that stuff. So I've had a very open approach to it. And I believe my son was like 2 years old. And, I walked into the house and he had a Bud Light cracked open sitting on the floor. And we're like, what are you doing? He's like, I got a beer for you, dad. And you're like, oh man. Like I get putting it away too, but yeah, it was one of those, dad fails.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is the great thing about Libra when I'm drinking Libra, right?
Exactly. Like
to give my son, sips of it, you know,
and it's not gonna, yeah, that's great. And I'm sure that you're like it'd be like, you said you're just over 40.
Yeah.
Like back in our day, there was no, like, there was nobody going to a party and being like, look at, I brought the non-alcoholic beer.
No,
but
no, like you would never do that.
I'm sure if you gave your daughter a case of the Libra beer and she went out, nobody would guess her. Nobody would be like, oh, she's drinking non-alcoholic beer.
No, exactly. I probably wouldn't encourage her to do that. Maybe. No. I don't know. But I'm also, I also have a very, I guess, open relationship with my kids.
Yep.
And
yeah,
the same sort of thing. It was very, when I was growing up, it was very much like, don't, never drink. And, and so, I try and be open about it and teach them about responsibility and making good decisions and,
let
them have sips here and there kind of thing.
Yeah. It's such a new age. Like we're the first parents that have ever had to deal with legalized cannabis also.
Yeah.
Which is a very strange navigational point for me right now, even like you don't want to tell your children that it's completely bad, because it's not, it helps lots of people, but we were told it's the worst thing you could ever do. So
it's funny that you say that, because it has, it is an interesting area to sort of navigate with teenagers, especially
it's hard. It really is. With next end of the month, I'm doing a podcast with the local cannabis shop. So I'm super excited to talk to him about that, as cause he's also a dad and stuff. And we're the first generation of adults growing up with legalized cannabis, and it's just like alcohol. It's like finding that balance. And some people are I remember being 15, 16 and getting beer. And from your parents or from a family member or from a friend it's just a weird stigma I believe we're going to have to get over.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely for our generation a taboo around cannabis, and really it needs to be treated like alcohol and responsible use. And
exactly. But then again, you have that weird feeling. If you were to leave out that on your table, I'm sure you wouldn't want your 6-year-old to see it.
No.
Right.
No.
But you probably have your beer. I don't know. I have beer downstairs usually.
Yeah.
It's one of those weird, really strange things.
Well, and it's fun. This is a funny story. Sort of a funny story. I went to university, back in, I started in 98 and finished in 2002. And I was talking to my buddy on the weekend about when we went to university, it was total mayhem. In residence, we lived in residence, but you could drink in your rooms, you could smoke in your rooms, smoke in the halls. It was just the only thing that you couldn't do on campus and was smoke cannabis, and if you got caught smoking cannabis anywhere on campus, you were expelled.
Life-ending sentence.
But you could sit in your room and you could drink all day and smash bottles against the wall and smoke cigarettes.
Not a problem.
And where now today,
A
lot of campuses are dry. You couldn't smoke anywhere on campus, smoke cigarettes, but cannabis is
edibles are fine.
Yeah, totally, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
It's awesome.
It's full 360. Yeah.
It is. It's nice to see, because the stigma's always been there, and now they're coming out. Oh man, it's really good and it's really healthy and it's all these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for us, we're still whoa, I don't want to see that. Don't let your kids see it. It's strange.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. I think I've used up a lot of your time already. I'm super happy that you came on, and I'm super excited to get the packages that Natasha is sending me. Is there anything else you want to tell the people of the Beerable Dad podcast?
Yeah, no. Thank you so much for your time. It's been really fun chatting with you, and I can't wait to hear what you think of the Libras and listen to the podcast with you and your mother-in-law.
We're excited.
Yeah, that's going to be great. And anyone who's interested in trying out Libra can check out our website, drinklibra.ca, and you can order it from there, or there's a list of retailers where you can pick it up. So
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. No, guys, if you can find it, go get it. Like you said, and there's the website, hit up the website, tell them that I sent you. Yeah, it'd be great. So, yeah, for the Beerable Dad podcast, stay beerable.